Y'all still hear me good? All right. The Lord, I was reading the Bible probably, I've read it since then, but probably about a month ago I was reading in Genesis. And I came across a passage of Scripture that really spoke to my heart. So I want to share that with you tonight. So if you have your Bibles, I'm going to ask you to turn to Genesis chapter number 3. Genesis chapter number 3. And I'll start reading in verse number 1. Genesis chapter 3 and verse number 1. The Bible says, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? The woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. The serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden." Now this is the passage that our text is coming from in verse number 9. "And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." I'll stop reading right there. In verse number 9, again it says, "And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou?" You know, we live in a technological age. Everything that you want to know, and really everything you need to know, is basically at your fingertips. Well, there's one thing that we can find out pretty easy about people we know, and that's their location. There's all kind of apps and things that you can download to a smartphone, and you can find out, and you can keep up, you can track people and know where they're at. And I read this, and the thought came to my mind, and it was very humbling, and it was very surreal, that the God of heaven, the God of glory, have you ever thought about that God knows exactly where you're at all the time? He knows everything about you. He knows your physical location. He knows where you're at emotionally, and He knows where you're at spiritually. God knows everything about us at all times. Now, I can't really see you that good. I can see some of you, and I don't see any halos and wings, so we're not angels. And the reason I say that is there's times that we're not as spiritual as we should be. There's times that we're not, that our attitude may get crossways, and the fact of the matter is, there's times that if we realize that God was looking upon us, we'd probably hang our heads in shame. But what happened here is God asked Adam this question, "Where art thou?" And this is the thought I want to preach on tonight. Where are you? Where are you at? Now, a few things I'll share with you and we'll be done tonight. But Adam and Eve, they were where God had put them. They were in the place that God had placed them. And we've all said and we've heard it said that wherever God plants you, that's where you need to bloom. But the fact is not everybody blooms where God places them. God had commanded Adam not to eat, but we know the Bible said that the serpent beguiled Eve and that she ate of the fruit and then she gave it to Adam. And there they are in the garden, and now their eyes were open. Now they knew right and wrong, good and evil, and they knew that they had sinned against God. Now there's some things that we need to beware of. There's some things we can learn from this passage of Scripture right here. Things that we need to be on guard about. First thing is that wherever God plants you, you can mark it down, friend, that the devil is going to make his mark there. He is going to make his presence known at the church house. He's going to make his presence known at our houses. If we're doing and we're serving and we're where God wants us to be, the devil is going to make his mark there. You say, do you have Bible for that? Well, Jesus said this. Jesus said that we need to beware. He said, because there'll be wolves amongst the sheep. And guess what? The wolves will be dressed, clothed in the sheep's apparel. Listen, the devil don't come in and he don't let everybody know he's the devil, but he's crafty. Very subtle. He'll come in and he'll look good. He'll say the right things, but he will make his mark known. Let me just put it to you like this. The devil don't like what's going on right here tonight. He don't like it when God's people, in the midst of everything that's going on, the devil don't like it that we're still having a hunger and a desire to assemble together as best we can and worship Him, and to learn from His Word. The devil don't like it. And he'll make his mark known. And you know, in days to come, if things keep getting worse, it may be that our faith is really tested right here in Packlet. It could come to that. So we have to beware of that. We also have to beware of this. You've got to watch out what you allow people to feed you. And this is what I mean by that. It may look good. It may sound good. It may even taste good. But if you're allowing somebody to feed you something that is going to draw you away from God, you need to run from it. It don't matter if it's a spouse. It could be a child. It could be a sibling. It could even be a mother or father. If they're trying to feed you something that is going to draw you away, pull you away from God, you need to run from it. You need to not eat it. That's exactly what happened here. I mean, Eve showed up and the Bible simply says that she gave to Adam and he eat it. And next thing you know, they went from fellowship with God to hiding from God. One bite. One thing that he allowed to enter his body. You got to watch out what you look at, what you listen to, where your hands go, where your feet go. You've got to beware of these things. The devil is very, very crafty. We also have to beware of the influence that we allow to take place in our lives. We don't know what Eve said. We don't know what she did. The Bible simply says that she went and she gave it to her husband and he ate it. She influenced him to partake of the fruit. And what happened then? They were both plunged into sin. Disobedience to God. Influence is a very serious thing. Influence will change your direction. You think about this. That one bite, that one act of disobedience, it changed their lives forever. They never got away from the consequences of that sin. It changed their direction. As I said, they went from fellowship with God. And can you just imagine the cool of the day and you being in such close fellowship and communion with God that in the cool of the day you could expect a visitation from God Almighty. To be able to walk with Him and talk with Him and experience the very presence of God. My mind has a hard time really grasping that. But apparently that's what Adam and Eve were experiencing. And one bite, one act of disobedience changed that eternally for them. If you're not careful, if you allow the devil to creep in and you partake of things that you shouldn't partake of and you're influenced in ways that you shouldn't be influenced, you can mark it down. You will pay dearly. You will suffer the consequences of that act of disobedience and sin. You think about this, the story of the Good Samaritan. And I'll probably come back to this, but the Bible says that there was a certain man that went down from Jerusalem unto Jericho and fell among the thieves. That direction that he went down and he fell. Think about the prodigal son. He wanted his riches, he wanted his what he thought was entitled to him, and he set his face toward the far country to live it up and to party and to do all those things, and he ended up in the hog pen. We have to be careful. We need to beware. And I've got good news. The Bible tells us what to do. Put on the whole armor of God. We need to be prepared. We need to do what the Bible says, and it will help us and secure us and guide us in the right direction. So, where are you? Where are you spiritually? A couple other things I saw here. God made His move toward mankind. Now, we've all heard it, but it needs to be repeated. When we disobey God, when we sin against God, it's not God that moves away from us. It's us that withdraw from God. We allow sin to put that wall up between us. We don't have the same fellowship and the same communion that we once had because of sin. But God still moves toward man. Well, I'm telling you, I am so glad that even at my worst, I can stand here and I can testify to you this fact. Even at my worst, I was not looking for God. I was not. But He came right to where I was. And He came in a very real way. And He came and He brought conviction, but He also brought compassion. He came with a loving spirit, but He also came with a belt. And at times, that's what He has to do. God makes His move toward man. God has a divine order we see here. When God came in the cool of the day, He called to Adam. Now men, whether we like it or not, we are the leader of the house. We're the ones that God will hold accountable for our household. And we need to be very responsible and very much aware that the direction that we go, we're probably going to have people following us. Might be some little feet trotting behind us. And if we're headed down the wrong road, if we're heading away from God, I don't want to stand before God and God indict me and say, "You led your children away from God. You led your children away from me." Oh no, listen, I want to be guilty of leading them to Christ, leading them closer to Christ. He does have a divine order. God didn't call for knowledge. He knew exactly where Adam was. You say, "Well, why did He say, 'Where art thou?'" Now, keep this in mind. God sometimes will propose a question just to let us know that He knows. And I believe that's what was happening here. God knew exactly what had happened. But when He asked that question, He was letting Adam know that He knew where he was now spiritually. That one choice, that one decision, it eternally changed his life here on this earth. God's still calling. He's still calling unto us at times. He's saying, "Where are you at? Where are you?" He's called unto me before, and He says, "David, I remember when we had a close fellowship, a close walk. I don't see you that often now. Where have you been? Where are you going? Where are you at?" And when He does that, it lets me know that He knows where I'm at spiritually. Couple things I'll share with you and then we'll be done. Where are you? Where is the place that you're at? Where's the place that you're at? And this is what I mean by that. You say, "Well, I'm here. I'm here tonight." Well, I know you're here. You're bodily here. But do you realize that you could be sitting here, but your mind be a million miles from here? You could be here physically, but spiritually, you may not be here tonight. God knows where you're at. And He may be calling you tonight saying, "Where are you?" What He's wanting is that fellowship. He's wanting that close communion with us again. I know that we're somewhat quarantined and we can't come into the church and we can't shake hands and do all the wonderful things that we did. But listen, you can still have a personal, close walk with God, even in the midst of this. God knows our hearts. My heart is this. I would love to be in the church tonight. Love to be sitting there or preaching tonight, whatever it was my lot to do. But we can't right now, and God knows that. But He knows that you're here, but maybe that walk that you had with Him isn't where it once was. He might be calling you tonight saying, "Where are you at? Been missing some things." The place that you're at is very important. And I'm talking about spiritually. Now I want to give you a biblical story here to think about. One of the greatest kings of Israel, his name was King David. And there was a particular time that he sent his men off to battle. Now normally David would have been right there on the battlefield with them. He would have been there, he would have been fighting, he would have been with his men. But now he chose to send them and he stayed back at home. Now I'm talking about the place that you're at. Because of his choice, He happened to walk up to the edge of the castle, look over, and there he saw something. Someone. Someone named Bathsheba. And you know how the story goes after that. You see, my point is, if he would have been where he needed to be, if he would have been in the battle, if he would have been on the battlefield where he normally was, he'd have never went down that road, and we all know what happened there. The place that you're at is very important. The place that you're at spiritually is very important. See, I think a lot of people have gotten out of the fight. They may still be a part of the army, so to speak, but they're not really ready to go to battle. They're not really ready to go out and attack the devil and let the devil know that we still want to see sinners saved and we still want to witness to people and talk to people about God. So we choose to sit at home and watch TV and eat Doritos and sit on the couch while everybody else does it. I said we because I'm guilty too. We all are. The proof's in the pudding. I mean, how often do we do it? We need to find our place on the battlefield again. The place that you're at is very, very important. David shouldn't have even been on that rooftop. Shouldn't have even been there. I can imagine this. Some of them soldiers might have looked at each other and said, "Where's King David at? Where's he at? Where's he at? I don't know where he's at. He's normally here with us. He's normally part of the battle. Where's he at? I don't know where he's at." I wonder if God may have even spoke to David's heart and said, "David, where are you at? Why are you not in the midst of the battle? You are the leader. You are the king." David chose not to take his place. He stayed back and suffered for the rest of his life from that one decision. God saying, "Where are you at? Where are you at right now? What place are you at in life? What place are you at spiritually?" That's only something that you and God can answer. God knows that He may be proposing that question to you tonight so that you will know that He knows. Secondly, where are you positionally? In other words, what direction are you headed? I'll give you a quick little example. By the way, Holly made it. Glad to see you, sweetie, over there. She found her way out of cow pens. But I'll tell you something pretty funny that she'll probably smack me later about this. But nah, she won't smack me. But we had to go to the lake yesterday. Had to go down to Lake Greenwood, and I got a call. That storm that blew through, the water rose. It's about a foot and a half high. And what that did is it got our jet ski off of the lift, and we had to go down there and get it, and the battery was dead in it. It was just about capsized in the water. And so she got on the jet ski, and I got a rope, and I pulled her around. And I was going to tie it off and make sure everything was good because we were coming back because we both had to work today. So I got it tied off, and I tied it off in four places, two on the back and two on the front. She said, "I need to get off before you tie this last one." I said, "I know. Yeah, I'm going to let you get off." And so she proceeded to go to get off, and I heard, She decided to take a lake bath last night. She went completely underwater in 60-something degree water, and she got soaking wet. Now, she told me, You don't have to tell everybody. So here I am telling the entire church tonight what she did. So, but my point is this, is she made one move and the direction that she went was straight down. I mean, it was, she was headed that way. That was the way she was going and she went straight. The direction that we're headed spiritually, the position that we're in, it will dictate the direction that we go. Now, as far as eternity, we've got two places, don't we? We know that in eternity, we've got one of two choices. You can go to heaven or you can go to hell. I thank God that my name's recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life. I know where I'm headed. I know the direction that I'm going when I leave this earth. But what about the direction that we're headed on the journey to heaven? Where are we at positionally in the direction that we're headed until we get there? Well, this is something to think about too. Whatever you're practicing every day, whatever you're involved in, that's a good indication of what your position is. Now think about that. Let me say it again. Whatever you practice, whatever you do habitually, each and every day, if you're doing something that you shouldn't be doing and you do it every day, that is a good indication. It can tell you what your position is, the direction that you're headed. I know somebody personally and they're involved in things they shouldn't be involved in. And I've talked to them about it and I've pleaded with them. But it seems like that it's a repetitive thing. It keeps happening in their life. And I say that is going to lead you down a dead-end path. They say, nah, I'll be all right. But the Bible tells us, history tells us, we should know this from personal experience, that if we're doing something over and over and over that we know that we shouldn't do, it tells us what direction we're headed. And friend, I'm here to tell you, you're not getting no closer to God with habitual sin in your life. You're headed away from Him. I've already mentioned, you know, the prodigal son. And that's a good story to look at, how that he got what he wanted and he actually he positioned himself toward the far country. And everything that glitters is not gold. Oh, he went out there and he might have had the friends and had the bright lights and everything was looking good, but it took him down further than he wanted to go. And can you imagine someone that had what he had, now he's eaten with the pigs and a hog pen. But he came to himself. The Bible says he came to himself. And he came back home. But his position led him there. I thought about Peter. Peter was a great man of God. But after the crucifixion and after his denial, I think we'd all agree that Peter was not positioning himself to go in the right direction. The Bible says that he said, "I go a fishing." In other words, he was saying, I'm going back to my old way of life. I'm going back to what I did before I met Jesus. I'm good at fishing, so I'm just going to go back to that. See, he had actually positioned himself to go back to where he was. And then there was a time after they had been out trying to fish all night, and the Bible says that Jesus stood on the shore. And they knew that it was Him. Peter just dove off in that water like Holly did and went right to Him. Then he had breakfast with Him. And then Jesus asked him these questions. Lovest thou Me more than these? Asked him that three times. And He told Peter, He said, feed My sheep. Feed My sheep. Feed My lambs. See, what Jesus was saying is this. Peter, your position, you're not headed down the right road. I called you to be a fisher of men. And after that moment, what do we find? We find that apostle, after they had went to the upper room and they got filled with the Holy Ghost, we find that apostle standing and preaching the Word of God, preaching it gun barrel straight. And thousands of people were getting saved. You see, he repositioned himself. He got lined up with God, is what happened. I can imagine God said, where are you? Where are you, Peter? As he was out there trying to catch fish, where are you? Maybe God's saying, where are you at? Where are you at? Maybe he's asking you, where are you? Where are you at positionally? What about Philip? Think about Philip. Philip was in Jerusalem. They were having a revival. I mean, it was on. But Philip got word about an Ethiopian eunuch that was traveling in the desert. And Philip did this. He set his position toward that chariot. And he went directly to the chariot. What happened? Somebody got saved. Somebody believed. Because he lined up with God. What about the Apostle Paul? You know his story. He was Saul of Tarsus. He was out persecuting Christians. He was out with letters. He had the authority to do it. But he ran into Jesus on the Damascus Road. And from that point on, it changed his position. And after his conversion, you find that Paul was constantly setting his position. He was desiring and hungering to be in line with God. Boy, I love it when he come down to the end. He said, I've fought a good fight. I've finished the course. I'm now ready to be offered up. I mean, he had done what God had called him to do. Can you imagine what Morning Star Baptist Church would be if the members repositioned themselves? What I mean by that is we get our eyes off of everything that's going on, and we set our eyes toward Jesus. Lord, just give me another little illustration. Peter stepped out of the boat, right? He stepped out of the boat on water. Outside of Jesus, I think he's the only one that walked on water. And he was looking at Jesus. He was headed right for Jesus. But the Bible tells us that the winds and the waves were boisterous, and Peter took his eyes off of Jesus. What happened? Down he went. I'll say it again, just like Holly in the water. Went down. But in the midst of going down, he looked up. Lord, save me. Jesus, again, made his move toward him, got him by the hand, lifted him up. Do you see how important it is for us to really evaluate this thing? For us to take a good look at ourselves and say, where am I at spiritually? to listen to the small, still voice of God and have Him to say, where are you at? Where art thou? See, God knows where you're at. He knows where you're at. He knows exactly where you are spiritually. He knows if you're as close to Him as you one time were. You say, well, preacher, how could I be close to Him in this situation and everything that's going on? Do like Peter did. Get your eyes off of everything else. Set your eyes on Him. Pray every day. Read this book every day. Hunger for Him and seek Him. And the Bible says He will be found. I want to remind you what it says. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. All these things will be added unto you. He said, if you knock, He'll open. If you seek, you shall find. I think we need to reposition ourselves. Get our focus back on Him. You see, we don't have to necessarily line up with one another. And understand what I'm saying. We believe the same thing. We teach the same thing. We're going to the same heaven. I mean, we're brothers and sisters in Christ. But if I've got my eyes on Jesus, and if you've got your eyes on Jesus, and every member has their eyes on Jesus, we're going to be headed in the right direction. Because He ain't going to lead us in the wrong direction. But there's a real enemy. There's the devil uses real people to feed things and to push things and to say things, and you just have to block all that out. He uses things and individuals to influence us that'll get us off track, that'll get us detoured, that'll get us headed away from Him, going down the wrong path. We've got to get our eyes back on Him. When I was reading this, it really jumped out at me. And it was almost like I could hear God say, where are you? Where are you? Where are you spiritually? And I had to bow my head and I just had to. Wasn't no need for me to try to convince God that I was somewhere else. He knew where I was, and He knows where you are. What I had to do is humble myself. Humble myself to the authority, to the sovereignty of Almighty God, and just ask Him to guide me. To lead me. And I can tell you what happened. Fellowship was restored. Joy was restored. Peace in the midst of everything that's going on. Peace that surpasses all understanding. You say, how can you have peace in the midst of all this? I'm His child. And He's put up boundaries. Just like every good daddy does. And I know where I need to go. I know how I need to go. The direction I need to go. The position I need to be in. And when trouble comes, I do. Just like that little boy sitting in the car. I holler for daddy. And guess what? Daddy will show up. Our Father loves us. He loves us, and He's going to be there for us. But if you're in the hog pens of this world, He's saying, where are you? I'm looking for you. Let's pray. Father, I thank You, Lord, for Your Word. It is precious. It's inspired, it's inerrant, and it's infallible, it's eternal. So precious. So precious. Thank you, Lord, for speaking to my heart tonight. Thank you, Lord, for feeding us. I pray, Lord, that this church, Morningstar Baptist Church, us that are the body of this church, we'd be the best members that we could be, desiring to live uprightly before you, desiring to walk with you, desiring to serve you, to know you better in these days. Father, I pray that your word would truly find a good lodging place deep down in our hearts. And Lord, I pray that we'd not only be hearers, but we'd be doers of the word. Father, I'm so thankful, Lord, that you don't forsake us, you don't abandon us. But Lord, you're long-suffering, you're a merciful God. And Lord, when you call to us, Lord, you calling out of a heart of love and compassion, and I thank you for that. And Father, again, I want to pray for each person here. Pray that you'd bless them. Pray that you'd keep us safe in these days. Lord, bring us back at the next appointed hour, and Lord, we truly will thank you and praise you for all that you've done. For it's in the precious and the sweet, the high and the holy name of Jesus, I humbly pray. Amen. 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 All right.